Thank you very much. I very much appreciate the opportunity to make a report to you, and you're accommodating me in the schedule, and I apologize that my accommodation request wasn't articulated as clearly as I should have. I'm the chair of the Special Education Advisory Committee. My name is David Lepofsky, and I just want to bring you folks up to date on a few things that are happening in our efforts. We are, as I've reported to this committee in the past, conducting a top-to-bottom review of TDSB's delivery of special education to students with special education needs. We are in the process of developing a series of detailed recommendations that we hope will guide both you as trustees and TDSB staff as you tackle this. I just want to give you a quick update on a few important fronts. The first is that we last June presented, came up with our first major package, or first major part of our efforts. It comprised four motions. I presented on them at the first PSSC meeting that came up after we passed these, which was last November. At the PSSC meeting where I presented them in November, I understand that this committee asked the staff for a report on them. We have, at SEAC, are eager to know what progress has been made, and we too asked for an update. We had a meeting just this past Monday, a SEAC meeting. We were told that no report had been rendered to you and that we would be getting an update in June, which we look forward to. I've just run into Mr. Peter Singh, who's a great guy and was the one who presented to us on one of our motions, our fourth, the one that dealt with digital accessibility. I just got a copy of his report right now and read what I could. I'm going to give you a very quick response. The problem that we were addressing is the lack of comprehensive measures at TDSB needed to ensure digital accessibility, that is to ensure that the technology deployed in our classes and for our students, and indeed, of course, for our staff, is technology which can be effectively used by people of all abilities. I, for example, as a blind person, can't read print and can't use a mouse on a computer. So you need software, you need adaptive technology, but you also need to make sure that the product that's coming out of and being circulated to us is one that our technology can read. TDSB is not now good at this. I will tell you both as or in my role as a chair of SEAC and as just dealing with the board that I routinely get materials in inaccessible PDF format. And this is not unique to TDSB, but 12 years after the Accessibility Frontiers with Disabilities Act was passed, this really shouldn't be going on. I've only briefly skimmed Mr. Singh's report, and I won't be able to stay for the body of it, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him because I literally just learned about it coming in the door. But I'll tell you two things. First, it's not accessible. I could only read the first three pages, and that's illustrative of what we experience here. I got an invitation to the Parents as Partners Conference, which is for, among other things, parents of students with special ed education needs last year, and the invitation was inaccessible. This goes on and on. And when I read the report, I read of helpful measures being taken, but I don't have any confidence that they are enough. And moreover, the measures that it says are being taken, for example, in terms of web or document accessibility, I know to be insufficient. So this really needs action. These are barriers to kids with the kind of disabilities that can be affected, just as stairs are barriers to somebody in a wheelchair. That's one of our four motions. I want to tell you briefly about two of the others. One of them, we passed last year, one of them identified what we as SEAC members have heard over and over, that parents find it very difficult to just get basic information from the board on what's available for students with special education needs, essentially what's on the menu, and how to access them. That's our first motion calls for major reforms to address this. A second thing that we as SEAC members have heard over and over is that parents repeatedly report, and I suspect you as trustees have heard, recurring difficulties when they do want to engage with the board to advocate for accommodations for their children or placements for them. They find it difficult to understand and take part in the process. I don't mean every parent, but recurringly these are problems. Now, we've heard these problems, and we've made detailed recommendations last June about steps that can and should be taken to fix these. Now, commendably, there are some references at a general level to some of this in the enhanced equity framework that has already been addressed. We'd like to see that turn into action. But I want to let you know that there's kind of more wind at our sails. And the wind at our sails is this. We've launched, as some of you or many of you, all of you may know, an online survey for parents of students at TDSB with special education needs. And we thank those of you who've been able to spread the word about it. We've already gotten 1,000 responses, and it's still available online. The link is on our SEAC website. Went out in the most recent TDSB blast to everybody, and we encourage you to publicize it at your ward meetings. We know that it's limited to those who have access to computers and who can deal with it in English. We know it doesn't go far enough, but it's a start. At our Monday meeting, we had a report from two law students. I'm a part-time visiting professor at Osgoode Hall Law School. Two of my students volunteered many hours to analyze the first 700 results. And boiling them down, you've got the copy, I've had distributed to you a copy of the report. It really is quite powerful. Now, before I tell you what it concludes, I want to ask you to make two assumptions. Assume that the people who are likely to have filled out those are inclined to be more critical of TDSB than complimentary. I have no basis for making that assumption, but just bear with me. Just assume it. And second, assume that half of the complaints that are expressed are inaccurate. Again, I have no basis for saying that, but assume that. Even if we assume, weight this as being substantially affected by those two factors and discount it accordingly, I suggest to you that the results of those surveys show a substantial need for reform. And two of the big themes are difficulty in finding out what's available for your kids, and difficulty of navigating the process of being able to advocate in the system once you do. So in other words, it is wind at our sails in the sense that it validates and reinforces our motion number one and number two. We are very eager to learn what's happening on that. On motion number four about digital accessibility, you will have Peter Singh's report, and we're looking forward to more dialogue on that. But we also have...
Sure. Your 5 minutes has expired.
Right. I was told that there isn't that time limit when it's committee advisory committee reports. Was I misinformed?
My apologies. You're correct.
Okay. Believe me, I got to leave soon, so I'm not going to eat up a lot of your time. But let me just.
You are correct.
Okay, that's good. Thank you very much. But the other recommendation, motion number three, related to the recurring inaccessibility problems at the built environment at the TDSB at many of the schools. We've identified and laid out major concerns, just so you know. Let me just quickly tell you about just two other areas. With respect to those four motions, we'd like to, it's our understanding that the only report you'll have received now is that of Mr. Singh, and that relates to only one of the four motions. That what we'd like to encourage this committee to do is to ask for set a timeline by which a report should be rendered. We'd also like to ask that before a report is brought to you, or while it's being developed, it would be helpful for it to be shared with us at SEAC. Had we received this report earlier, and we asked for an update at our May meeting that took place earlier this week on these four motions, we would have provided input that might have enriched the report and made it helpful rather than me responding to it by sitting here trying to read the pages I can read and then trying to respond off the cuff. And so I encourage you to also ask the staff in preparing these reports that they consult with us before they finalize what they're going to submit to you. The other two areas I want to tell you about is these. Those are the first four motions. We're now working on a fifth, and it's almost done. I've circulated to you what's been passed, but we've got one provision that's not in it that we're going to hopefully resolve on at our June meeting. This is really heavy lifting. This motion addresses how do you do inclusion? How do you make inclusion work? And I think you're going to find when you read what we've already done and when we deal with what left we have to do, which is a small but important part of it, I think what you're going to find is that our committee reflects the entire spectrum of views on the issue of inclusion. It's a complex and controversial at times as a subject, and we are trying to develop, and I, as the chair, I'm trying to lead the development of an important consensus that can guide what you and what the senior staff do at the board. What we've found in substance is that the board has a lot of good people working at it who want to do the right thing, but there are a lot of procedures, processes, bureaucracies, and rigidities in the way things work here that get in the way of doing it right. And so we're trying to come up with solutions that can work. With respect to the issue of inclusion, we have, as a matter of principle, said there are two things, one of which is beyond the first four motions. One is you got to ensure that the regular classroom is a barrier-free classroom, because taking a child with special education needs and plopping them into a classroom which was not designed as if they were ever going to be there is being unfair to everybody involved. Now, we therefore say we try to identify a number of steps, including steps that can be done at low or no cost, and steps that can be taken quickly. Others are going to require more. But we've tried to identify concrete actions that can make that mainstream, that regular class, a more welcoming place. That'll be easier for the students. That'll be easier for the teachers. That'll be easier for everybody. The other thing that I'd like to tell you that I think we can conclude from what we've done is that your SEAC, your Special Education Advisory Committee, is doing really advanced policy work for you. We're volunteers, but we're not simply responding to what the board came to us with or the staff came to us with. We're asking our own questions of staff. They are helpfully providing responses. We're debating them extensively, bringing to bear a wide range of different perspectives, and trying to come up with positions that will assist you. Let me just briefly wind up with the latest thing that's come up, because you're going to want to know about this. One issue that was identified to us by an important legal clinic in our society, the Arch Disability Rights Clinic Law Center, in our February meeting, was the use by this board and other school boards of a power under Section 265 of the Education Act to refuse to admit a student. And it basically is a power which allows a principal to tell a student, don't come to school. That's outside the discipline process. That's outside suspensions, and that's outside of expulsions. And we were told that this is disproportionately used in connection with students with disabilities. And serious concerns were raised with us about it, as a result of which we turned to the staff and said, okay, could we have a report? And at our meeting this past Monday night, we had a very, very helpful report. I don't want to speak or summarize it in any detailed way. It speaks for itself. We will be now turning in June to looking at coming up with some recommendations for you. But we think that whatever we do, it requires some prompt action, because what we've found out is that there's essentially no TDSB policy on how this power is used. So it is really left to each principal to use it as in their discretion, without procedural safeguards that are protected there, that are available for students who are the subject of suspensions or exclusions. And that's not really a good system to have. I'm understating this substantially. That is an invitation for possible problems and difficulties. The other thing we learned from ARCH is that they weren't able to get statistics from TDSB on how often this power is used, because apparently they're not centrally collected. We would recommend, before we even get to making concrete recommendations on what policies or procedures should be in place, we would recommend that immediately the TDSB should be directing all of its principals that if ever, whenever they exercise this power, it should immediately be reported to a central place, both who and how long and why, so that there's a capacity to centrally track how this power is being used. Because by not knowing how 550 principals are using it, by 550 principals not being guided by any comprehensive board policy on how it is to be used, and when it's a policy that bears on the very right to come to school at all, this is an invitation for problems. We're happy to do what we can to assist you. We feel it's an important role we have to be able to identify concerns like these and bring them to you for action, and I'd welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lepofsky. Questions or comments from trustees? Floor is open. Trustee Goff.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Story. I also sit on SEAC. I share our Chair Lepofsky's concerns on many of the fronts that he has addressed. With reference to the refusal to admit comments and recommendations that we track refusal to admit centrally, would it be possible for staff to give a comment on that?
Through you, Madam Chair. One of the things that Executive Council has spent time on in the last while is the need for clarity as it relates to the procedures, and we're going to do that. So whether there's a direction or not, we see this as procedural, one that does need to be tracked, one that does need data collected, and we're already in process to make that happen.
Thank you. So it's not necessary then to do a motion on that?
Through you, Madam Chair, you can always do a motion, but I'm actually sharing that it's already in place, so it's up to you if you'd like.
Okay, well, if it's in track, then I'm going to do a motion on it, but I'm very relieved to hear that. Thank you very much. When can the trustees expect to hear a report back on it?
I'll just stay here. Sorry.
Through
you, Madam Chair. We are planning to bring forward a number of the strategic work that we've been doing in relationship to special education. Even though this is not a special education issue, I want to be clear, but we are tracking towards June for when we'd like to have all of this information going forward. I see it as distinct from special education report, but as you know, we are bringing in a comprehensive strategic special education report at that time to this committee.
Okay, thank you, I look forward to that.
So further to that, while you're at the table, Director, Mr. Lepofsky referred to an expectation or commented that there's an expectation that SEAC's motions would be responded to in that June report. Is that
we've asked the staff to provide us with a report on progress on or what the staff is doing with respect to our four motions, and we were told to expect a report from staff to us for our June meeting. That was what I had mentioned.
Okay. So will those two things dovetail or not?
Through you, Madam Chair, I think that I'm going to use this opportunity to clarify one piece, because clearly we as a staff can't be working for two respective boards. And so the notion of reports coming to SEAC and the reports coming to board, I'm going to suggest that what has to happen is we prepare reports for board based upon what SEAC brings to the board. And then we would, of course, share that information with SEAC, because they would have quite an interest, because we won't just be responding to those recommendations. There's other work that we're doing as well. So I want to be absolutely clear that we're not bringing a report to SEAC. We're bringing a report to the board that will be shared with SEAC.
Will the report be coming to the SSC first?
Through you, Madam Chair, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just...
So how do we then respond to... How is staff responding? And perhaps Executive Superintendent Robinson is better placed to answer this. I don't know, but what is... How is the expectation or the request from SEAC with respect to a response from their motions for June going to be met?
Through you, Madam Chair. The reason why I'm speaking, and I'm certainly not taking the voice from Executive Superintendent, is that this is, I think, a governance matter that I'm speaking to, so that's why I'm here. It's not specific to special education. So really what's important is I'm hoping when the board receives very important feedback from SEAC, PEAC, and other committees that show the extensive contribution of that particular committee, my hope is always that the board directs staff to then take that and to do work on behalf of the board so that we can bring forward what's been done, what's not been done, and so forth. So in terms of our response, it's to you. And it's not directly to CN.
Right. And I can assist with this. John and I haven't had a chance to talk about this. I don't have any disagreement with anything that's just been said. But just to, so you understand how we work, we routinely have staff at SEAC meetings, and we routinely will ask them if they can update us on things, and periodically they do. They either update us on things they want us to know about and get feedback on, or we will raise an issue like this exclusions issue and say, the refusal to admit issue, and say, hey, could someone update us on this? I don't need the word report, which I gather has a certain connotation and importance with respect to governance. But we do periodically, and I expect will periodically, say, hey, what's happening on this? And we found staff very helpful in being able to get back to us or tell us that they're too busy, can they do it in a few months or whatever, and so on. And I think when we asked for an update, that's all we were looking for. Obviously, okay. Governance decisions come to you folks.
Thank you. I think that's very helpful clarification, because in terms of accountability, advisory committees advise board, staff report to board.
Right.
So that all makes sense. I think we're all on the same page.
Absolutely.
Any other questions for Mr. Lepofsky? Seeing none, we will move on. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.